It's been said when the outlook is bleak, try the uplook. Here's Pastor John Randall to add to that.
Maybe you've been looking at the news feeds and maybe you've been looking at all the reports. It's good to be informed, but it's also good to have the upward look because the outward look apart from Jesus can be very depressing. So try the upward look. Look up to the Lord. This is our job. We want people to keep running the race. We want you to keep fighting the good fight, friend. And maybe you feel like you've been knocked down. You might be knocked down tonight, but you're not knocked out.
Pastor John Randall will return in just a moment, so stay close by as another edition of A Daily Walk comes your way. We've been through quite a bit in recent months, from riots in the streets to stay-at-home orders in response to the coronavirus, loss of work, and for some, deep discouragement or depression. And while many are scrambling for answers to the problems in our world, we can find just what we need for this very hour in Jesus. That's the great reminder in front of us as we turn to Colossians chapter 2. So be encouraged as we discover everything we need or ever will need is found in Christ.
Colossians chapter 2. And if you're joining us for the first time tonight, we have been going through the book of Colossians. We're just a few studies into it. It's been a tremendous time of looking at the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so we pick up this evening back where we left off here in Colossians chapter 2. Look with me now, beginning in verse 1, if you'd follow along in your Bible. Paul writes, "I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Within the first chapter of Colossians, the Apostle Paul wrote primarily about the truth concerning Jesus Christ. He presented some of the most amazing aspects concerning Jesus. He looked at the deity of Jesus Christ, that he is the creator, he is the eternal sustainer of all things. And then Paul wrote about the death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Christ. And then he also wrote about the demands of Jesus Christ. In the conclusion of chapter 1, Paul wrote of how he made it a priority in his ministry to preach Jesus Christ. And in preaching Jesus, Paul was warning every man in order that they would understand the truth. And this was not something that Paul approached casually. Rather, it was something that he did with intensity. You remember last time that Paul said he labored, striving. And the word that Paul used, it gives us that picture that Paul was fond of an athlete struggling and agonizing with great intensity, with purpose and effort, endeavoring with strenuous zeal to obtain something. Paul was basically saying, I'm giving everything I've got. I'm giving you 100% of all that I am from where I'm at this moment. Remember, when Paul wrote this letter to the Colossians, he's in prison. There wasn't a lot that he could do, but he's saying to them, listen, I want you to know something. I'm giving it 100%. I'm not slacking off. I'm not slowing down. Even though I'm in prison, I can pray and I can write. I'm giving you everything I've got. But we begin tonight in chapter 2, and we start out by looking at, number one, Paul's conflict. It says here, look at verse 1. Paul said, I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Here, Paul shares his heart with the believers about a personal, internal struggle that he was having within himself. And it had to do with his concern for the Colossian congregation. Now, keep in mind, as I said, Paul is writing this letter from prison, and he had also never met the people in this congregation there in Colossae. Of course, he had been in Ephesus about 100 miles away, and Colossians and the work that was going on there in Colossae was probably a byproduct of the work that had taken place in Ephesus. So he hadn't been there personally, but he had heard all about the good work that God was doing. And as Paul had heard about the work, he was struggling with the fact that he was unable to visit the work. And he says here that he had a conflict. It's interesting, the word that Paul uses for conflict here, it's where we get our word agony. Paul was fond of using this word. He uses it some 6 times in the New Testament. And again, it's that athletic term that carries the idea of an athlete striving and battling in a contest to win the prize. Paul said, I have an internal conflict within me for those of you that I'm not able to see face to face. You know, what's interesting is I was reading this today. I thought, I'm having that same conflict right now in the midst of what we're experiencing. I can't see you face to face. And so I'm struggling with that. I'm having a conflict with that. You can keep us in prayer as well. We miss you. I want you to know that. Ministry is all about people. If you don't have people, you don't have ministry. And so we want you to know that we're having a great conflict in ourselves here. But you can imagine how Paul must have felt at this moment, at this time, behind bars. And he knew that wolves were coming into the flock of God, and he couldn't be there to physically do anything about it. This was something I believe that was probably one of the deepest struggles that Paul had. And I think even more so than the physical persecution he endured, it was his concern for the churches. You may recall in 2 Corinthians 11, Paul talked about this struggle. And he said that in 2 Corinthians 11, the thing that came upon him daily was his deep concern for the church. And I have found that personally in being separated from the church, that this is the deep concern that I have, a concern for the well-being of the church. Paul said, I'm in a conflict. And there are several things that you could take just even from that first verse. One thing you can make note of is that in ministry, there's bound to be conflict. There will be times when your heart will be agonizing over people and situations, when you'll have a sense of internal struggle that you can't do anything about. And those who assume that ministry is something less than that, they don't really understand the nature of ministry. At times it's a conflict to care for people's souls. And then you also come to realize from this first verse of this chapter that sometimes all that you can do is all that you can do. Paul said, I'm limited. There's certain things that I am incapable of doing, but I'm not going to stop praying and I'm not going to stop writing. I've really felt that this week. I feel like there's only so much I can do, but listen, I'm going to do as much as I possibly can because there's a conflict within me for the church. And one thing that Paul did was he prayed. There is such power in prayer. He was agonizing and wrestling with God in prayer. It was W.H. Griffith Thomas. He had some wonderful insight regarding prayer like being a conflict. He said, quote, prayer regarded as a conflict includes 2 ideas of toil and strife. He said the toil of prayer shows us the actual work involved in it. Sometimes, however, we hear the statement, if you can do nothing else, you can pray. As though prayer were the easiest of all types of Christian service. As a simple matter of fact, it's actually the hardest. And further, no person knows the real meaning of it unless they experience it when they labor in prayer. Do we really know what it means to labor in prayer? You remember Jesus certainly knew what it meant to labor in prayer. In fact, the Bible tells us that in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed, it says that his sweat became like great drops of blood, the intensity, the labor in prayer. And so Paul says, I'm laboring, there's this toil. I think about Daniel. You remember when Daniel began to pray on behalf of the nation? They had sinned against God. They were living in Babylon. They were suffering the consequences of their sin. But Daniel began to intercede on behalf of the people. In Daniel chapter 10, he was praying and he was waiting for an answer from God. And finally, an answer came, and the Lord responded to Daniel's prayer. This was Paul's conflict in prayer. But not only did Paul have a conflict within concerning the Colossian congregation, but secondly, I want you to make note of that Paul had several concerns. Notice in verse 2, this was his concern for the church, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. These were the things that Paul was concerned about. He was, first of all, concerned about, it says here, the heart of the believers, that they would be encouraged. And notice when Paul uses this word heart, it's not referring to the physical organ in your body that pumps the blood through your physical frame. It's actually a reference to the control center of a person's emotions, of their thoughts, of their actions, of their affections, of their passions. It also includes the thinking process, particularly of the will. The Bible tells us, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And for the Colossian congregation, and for us as well, the heart, the seat of our emotions, is the place where we are subject to attack from the enemy. The devil launches his assaults on the mind, trying to get us to react, trying to get us to give up, attempting, if it were possible, to have us lose heart altogether. And Paul, knowing that this would be a struggle for the church, he was concerned and he was praying that they would remain encouraged. Listen, I believe that every pastor tonight who all over the globe are preaching, probably like us, online, should desire that the people that he ministers to be encouraged within their hearts. I know for me personally, and I know for those who serve here with me, that this is our concern, that you would be encouraged. We want you to know that we're praying for you. We want you to be strengthened. And maybe tonight you're overwhelmed. Many people are. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you are anxious. It's our desire tonight that you'd be encouraged. I feel like it's part of the pastoral job description to help people place their eyes back on Jesus. That's why we're preaching to an empty room tonight, so that you could put your eyes back on Jesus, so that you could be encouraged tonight. Maybe you've been looking at the news feeds, and maybe you've been looking at all the reports. It's good to be informed, but it's also good to have the upward look, because the outward look, apart from Jesus, can be very depressing. So try the upward look. Look up to the Lord. This is our job. We want people to keep running the race. We want you to keep fighting the good fight, friend. And maybe you feel like you've been knocked down. You might be knocked down tonight, but you're not knocked out. The Bible says, though a righteous man fall, the Lord will raise him back up. Listen, if you feel knocked down, God's going to raise you up tonight. Paul was concerned that the church would be encouraged in their hearts, in the seat of their emotion. And he couldn't be there with them physically. But this is what he was praying for. Paul was also concerned, listen to this, in verse 2, it says that they would be knit together in love. As the church in Colossae was under attack from false teachers, the enemy was attempting to tear them apart. That's one of the difficult things about the situation that we're in right now, because we're all separated. We're not together as we so often are. And the enemy would love nothing more than to tear the church apart in the midst of this situation. But you know something that I'm finding? I'm finding that what the enemy is intending for evil, God is using for good. I have a greater desire to fellowship with God's people probably than I ever have before. And it's something I no longer want to take for granted. I don't think that I took it for granted before, but it's certainly not something I'm going to take for granted now. And maybe some of you, church has been an afterthought. It's been something, when it's a matter of convenience and fellowship, well, I can always watch online, and praise the Lord, you can. But there's something about being together with God's people, worshiping the Lord together. And my prayer is that when this is all over, people who normally fellowship isn't a priority, that they'd be the first ones back through these doors, sitting in the front rows with Bible open, ready to receive from God, from his word. Guys, we can't neglect fellowship. The Bible says, especially as we see the day approaching, and I believe the day is approaching when Jesus is coming again. I don't know the day or the hour, but boy, I can see the signs of the times. They are all around us. And Paul was praying that this church would be knit together in love, and their unity would provide a defense against error and being torn apart. You know something? When you are in the midst of a trial, and you're hurting, it isn't always easy, is it, to stay united? yet we're a family of believers here at Calvary Chapel. We are a body, the body of Christ, joined together, knit together. It says here, how are we knit together? By the love of Jesus. You know, when we are together, when we are together in this congregation, you know, for me, it is such a joy to look out and to see different ages, different colors, different people, because it's such a beautiful display of the body of Christ. I love the diversity, but I also realize what brings us all together. It's the love of Jesus. It's the Word of God. It's the Spirit of God. That's what brings us together as the body of Christ. We're knit together that way. Listen, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Friends, listen, love in the church is a byproduct of the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers within that church. Jesus exhorted his disciples. You remember prior to his departure, he said in John 13, 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And then Jesus said it again in John chapter 15, in verse 12. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Peter, later on in his first epistle in 1 Peter chapter 1, he wrote to a church that was suffering persecution, that was struggling. Listen to what Peter said. He says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. We are exhorted over and over again to love one another. Jesus said, this is how the world knows that you're my disciples, by the love that you have for one another. Paul was concerned that they would be encouraged within their hearts, that they would be knit together in love. But another concern and prayer request that Paul had is that they would have an understanding of what had been provided for them in Jesus, what the Lord had provided. Look at what it says in verse 2. It says, and attaining to all the riches of the fullness of understanding, assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, and whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Folks, listen to this. Paul desired that these believers in Colossae would understand all of the blessings that were theirs in Christ. Now, the false teachers that had come into the church seeking to disrupt the work of the Lord and undermine and lead people astray, what they suggested is there's more out there. I mean, it's great that you have Jesus, but there's a whole lot more out there. You need to open up your mind. You need to experiment a little bit. You need to continue to progress and learn some other things that you don't know that can't be found in Christ. They spoke of a deeper knowledge that someone could discover, that they could possess. But here's the truth. That was a lie. That was a lie. It wasn't available. It was man's wisdom. It was vain philosophy. And the apostle, what he does is he uses one of the favorite words of the false teachers who were known as, they were called the Gnostics, and it's the word knowledge. They loved that word. And what Paul points out to the believers here in Colossae is they already had knowledge in Christ. There wasn't any knowledge outside of Jesus. It was all there. There's a higher wisdom that you need to find. Paul said, no, listen. Everything you need is found in Christ. He is sufficient. He is your wisdom. He is your peace. The knowledge of the mystery, the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge, they're all found in Jesus. Can I just say to you tonight, if you're watching online, listen, you're never going to find anything better than Jesus. Jesus has everything you need. If you need wisdom tonight, ask the Lord. You say, I don't know what to do about the situation I'm in. Do I go to Costco? Do I go to Ralph's? Do I go to Sprouts? Where do I go? Ask the Lord. He'll show you. Is there any toilet paper left? I'm sure there is. God is faithful. You don't have to worry. You can trust him. Ask him for wisdom tonight. Maybe you're wondering, well, what about my job? They've given me a pay cut. And what about this? And what about my parents? They're older and I'm concerned. Listen, guys, we got to take that to the Lord. He is the answer for us and for this world. We need wisdom found in him. You know, oftentimes as believers, and I will say, I can't believe how relevant this text is tonight, but oftentimes as believers, we can easily forget or fail to understand all that we truly have in Christ. You know, the Bible says that the Lord has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, that everything we need is found in Christ. Perhaps we haven't taken time to consider what we have been given in the present, and more so, what we have promised us in the future. Folks, listen, it's pretty evident this is not all that there is. This is temporary. There is heaven. There is glory. There is Jesus for eternity. That's where we're headed. And it's times like these that we're reminded that life is fragile, that Jesus is coming soon, and that we're not invincible, regardless of what country we live in, as wonderful and amazing as it is. Listen, we need Jesus. The world needs Jesus. But sometimes I think we fail to realize all that we already possess in Christ. You know, it's interesting. I was reading a story about W.R. Hearst. He was one wealthy individual. Perhaps you visited his castle, Hearst Castle. Anyways, I always wanted to swim in the pool, but they wouldn't let me. But anyways, he had an insatiable appetite for purchasing and securing great works of art. And he had warehouses full of works of art. And one day, the story goes, he came across a painting, found out about it. He thought it was attractive. He wanted it for his collection. And so he called some of his employees together and he told them to go out and search for this painting and whatever the price was to purchase it and bring it. And so they went out, they researched it. And at first they were unable to find it. But after 3 months, the story goes, of diligently making inquiries wherever they could, they came back to Mr. Hearst saying that this 3 month search had led them to the place where the painting was located. And it turned out Hearst already had it. He already possessed it. He was saying, I really need this particular, but he already had it. And I think sometimes as Christians, we're grasping for this or we're looking for that or what I really need is this. And what we don't realize is all that we already possess in Christ. Folks, we're the children of God. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Do you know what you have tonight? Are you aware? Do you know what you really need? And so it's so important for us. And Paul desired that the church here in Colossae would know everything that they had. If they needed wisdom, they already had it. It was found in Christ. Wisdom to navigate through life, wisdom to navigate through trials, it was found in Jesus.
What an excellent reminder for times like these. The wisdom, strength, and really everything we need for the present and future is found in Jesus. As we draw today's edition of A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall to a close, I have just a few things to tell you about that you might be interested in. What you heard today is one part of a series of studies based in Colossians. Call us if you'd like a CD copy at 877-242-0828. You can also listen to A Daily Walk online at adailywalk.org. And we also have an app that makes listening and viewing messages really easy through your mobile device. It's available on Google Play, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Roku. Just do a search for CCSJC. Maybe you didn't realize it, but we also have a TV ministry. You can now watch A Daily Walk on demand at lightsource.com and at hischanneltv.com. We have an exciting announcement. Pastor John has a new podcast called Spread the Word. Don't miss these weekly podcasts as John shares his thoughts on current events through the lens of the Bible and spreads the word about Jesus. Look for it on Apple or Google Podcasts or Spotify. I should add, A Daily Walk is available by podcast too. Not long ago, Pastor John delivered a timely series called Courage is Contagious. And we have a t-shirt we'd like to offer you today that has that phrase beautifully portrayed on the front of it. You might think of it as a way of encouraging yourself and those around you to be courageous for Christ in these difficult days. The cost is $15. You can order that by calling 877-242-0828. That's 877-242-0828. Or just visit adailywalk.org and look for our e-store. If you can include a little extra, that would be greatly appreciated. As people are looking for hope and encouragement right now, we believe God is using radio and the internet in even greater ways. With your help, we're able to provide that to them. So thank you. Again, donations can be made at adailywalk.org or by calling 877-242-0828. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but come back next time when Pastor John Randall will again open and study the book of Colossians with us. A Daily Walk is brought to you by Calvary Chapel, San Juan Capistrano.